you want to secure your retirement on your own terms, you need to go beyond conventional financial planning. Stick around. We'll introduce you to new perspectives for enhanced wealth creation and protection. Now, on to our podcast, Beyond Conventional, with Joe Biondolillo.
Hello and welcome to episode number 10 with Joe Biondolillo. This is Trump's tax bill. Now, there has been a lot of stuff in the news, Joe. We know that. So much conjecture. People don't really know what's going on with this. But it's vital from a financial planning and a financial services perspective on what is in this bill and how it's going to impact your clients. So tell us what you're thinking. Help us out with just kind of distilling some of this so that people have a clue.
Hey, Matt, I think that there's a lot of confusion with the current tax bill. And quite frankly, we haven't figured it all out yet. I don't think the accountants have figured it all out yet. They're still kind of going through it. But there are certainly some key points. Listen, this has been the biggest tax overhaul in the tax code in 30 years. That's big. Okay. So what I thought might make sense for some of our listeners is to simply lay out some of the things that clients of mine are speaking with us about.
Oh, that's a great idea.
When we sit down with folks, there seems to be some big confusion on corporate tax, personal tax, what's deductible, what's not deductible. And while we're not expert in this field, and we would certainly recommend that you run everything by your tax advisor, I think at a high level, some of the things are very simplistic when you just understand the definition for what it is. And if we put some of that content out there, I think the listeners might enjoy a real high level of understanding how certain things will impact them.
Well, it's also really good to just skim the surface just a little bit so that when people do come in and talk to you, or if they do talk to their tax professional, they can come with some pointed questions. So let's hear what your clients are saying, Joe.
So one of the big things that I keep hearing folks say is, okay, look, I run a business and I'm understanding that the personal tax rate hasn't changed much, but the business tax rate has changed. So if we just kind of spoke a little bit about business corporate tax rate, which is pretty simple, it cuts the corporate income tax rate to 21%, and that's from 35% beginning January 1st of 2018. That is huge. 21% from 35% is a tremendous corporate tax rate cut. Personally, I think it's one of the reasons that you've seen some strength in the economy since the tax cut. Because to be quite frank with you, what does this mean, Matt? If businesses have more money, small businesses are the thriving force of the U.S. economy. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you they're going to do?
Well, we've already seen it in some of the big news headlines. People hiring again, reinvesting in their infrastructure.
That's right. You know, it's more of a reason. You have more net dollars. You've got more net dollars to utilize to grow your business. And it seems like that's ultimately what Trump's goal ultimately is. Mm-hmm. If you fast forward a little bit to the personal taxes, okay? And for a moment, we just kind of look through some of the actual tax rates, okay, the individual tax brackets. I'll run through them, just a few of them quickly. For married couples filing jointly, effective January 1 of 2018, and that's actually a phase out through 2026, 10% up to 19,000 versus 10% up to 18,650 under the existing tax law. So that hasn't changed too much. Okay. You have 12% on 19,000 to 77,000 in income. And that was used to be 15% from 18,651 to 75,900. So both the income has increased on that level and the tax rate is actually lower. Okay. 22% federal tax on 77,401 in income all the way up to 165,000. And that's changing from what was 25% from 75,901 to 153,100. You then go to 24% in the bracket of $165,001 to $315,000, which replaces the 28% federal bracket from $153,101 to $233,350. That's a big jump. You then have 32% federal bracket on $315,000 to $400,000 versus what was 33% on $233,000 to $416,000, a little bit of a slimmer margin at that point. And you then have 35% from $400,000 $1,000 to $600,000 versus 35%, which scaled up to $470,000. So there's actually a tax savings on $130,000 of more income at that level. And above $600,000, it's just 37% versus what was 39.6% above $470,000. So there's certainly some tax savings on the individual level. But I think the bigger concern is what the exemptions are allowed and what the deductions are not allowed to be going forward. And this is where there seems to be a lot of confusion. Have you heard some talk about the deductions and what's allowed and what's not allowed, Matt? What are you hearing?
Well, yes. So that's a huge thing that I've been hearing from a lot of financial services professionals and friends, right? Friends, fellow business owners that I have and that in my own networks, they're quite confused about what they're able to deduct and what they're not able to deduct, because the personal stuff, you know, as you just outlined, seems to be very beneficial. Some people seem to be a little bit on the fence whether the tax deductions for businesses are actually beneficial to the small business owners.
And I think that's a valid point. And I think right now there's a lot of gray in those areas. Some of the things that I'll speak to specifically that reflect a lot of the folks that we work with, a lot of our clients happen to live in more affluent areas, which does not really mean much, because if you live in the state of New Jersey or in certain areas of New York City, a modest home could be quite expensive. So one big thing that has changed in the tax code is the mortgage interest deduction. Okay. And the mortgage interest deduction currently for residences bought after January 1st, and this is important because this is one of the big misconceptions. There's been a change in mortgage interest that's allowed to be deducted, where that's capped at $750,000 on a home loan, okay? And that's only from 2018 to 2025. So to be clear, if you purchased a home in 2017 or prior and you currently owe $1 million on that home, that's your mortgage, 100% of that interest is tax deductible, okay? If you purchased the residence after January 1st of 2018, up until 2025, you're only going to be allowed to deduct the mortgage interest of $750,000 on that house.
Okay.
Okay. In addition to that, and I think this is a big game changer, it suspends the deduction for interest on home equity loans from 2018 to 2026. And that was a way that a lot of folks used as ways to maybe, a lot of our clients get bonuses, and they'll use the home equity line of credit as a way to maintain their level of lifestyle and pay back that equity line of credit, maybe with a bonus, using the tax efficiency of that home equity line versus relinquishing control of their savings to give them some more cash flow. And these are some of the beyond conventional strategies that we speak with clients about, that they're gone. There's no longer the accessibility for that. As a matter of fact, some of the things that we're beginning to speak with folks about is if they're under the 750 mortgage amount, and they do have a home equity line of credit, it might be a good time to speak with a mortgage professional and talk about consolidating onto a traditional 30-year or 15-year mortgage, whatever the client would want, to maintain the full tax efficiency of that mortgage deduction. So that, in my opinion, is a big one. Additionally, we think that's going to have a ripple effect, right? Because if the mortgage deduction is $250,000 less in some high-end areas, a lot of clients that focus on the efficiency of their dollars try to maximize that mortgage limit and get that up to that $1 million threshold, plus the $100,000 for the home equity line of credit, which is almost $400,000 of more borrowed money that no longer could be tax efficient.
Wow.
So that's one thing that a lot of folks have been speaking to us about.
Yeah.
Another big change in some of the areas that we work is on the inheritance tax, and indexes the exemption level for inflation after 2011, which really means fewer Americans are going to have to pay estate tax, which ultimately could be a good thing. It also eliminates a lot of estate planning concerns that folks have as far as doing transactions for estate planning purposes and trying to minimize their taxable estate.
Now, that is a very interesting thing, because some of the things that you and I have talked about in the Beyond Conventional podcast and in your white paper, we were talking about ways to reduce some of the estate taxes. Now, how much has that fundamentally changed some of your tactics?
You know, it really hasn't changed too much. And our clientele typically are high income earners. This changes the context of who has a taxable estate tremendously. It's giving a lot of cushion in the estate planning world. But I think more than anything else, you know, you can get caught up in the details, and we can certainly speak in more detail about some of the details. But I think the lesson to be learned here is set it and forget it on any of your financial planning. And whether you're speaking about rates of return or taxation or controlling your money, they're always changing. There's no such thing as let's put this on autopilot and talk about it in 20 or 30 years. Or, you know, if you're working with an advisor and you're under the mindset of I'm in good shape because I've kind of set all this stuff up. This is really a simple reminder of that what might have made sense a few years back could be a significant change in your overall financial plan, specifically with regard to taxation. And that's not going to stop. Okay. It's going to be different 10 years from now and 20 years after that.
Okay. That makes sense. What about small businesses? Have you heard anything about what's going on with the small businesses and what they're able to deduct and what they're not able to deduct? And I mean, you talked about the fact that it went from, you know, the overall big picture business taxes went down, but help us with some of the small business owners.
One of the things that I'm trying to look into and really wrap my personal mind around, including my own business, is the difference between two things, and that's professional service businesses versus these manufacturing type businesses. And it seems like the tax code is really leaning towards benefiting manufacturing type of businesses, and which really is consistent, I must say, with what the president has campaigned on, right? But on professional services organizations and corporations, it seems like there might not be as many tax benefits to this current tax code. And we're still really trying to sink our teeth into it. I will tell you that on pass-through entities, it creates a 20% deduction for the first $315,000 of qualified business income for joint filers, okay? That's partnerships, sole proprietors. For income above that threshold, the legislation has phase-out limits. Ultimately, what that means is it'll produce an effective marginal tax rate of no more than 29.6%, which will be an advantage. But what's deductible, what's not deductible? There's been a lot of back and forth on meals and entertainment and only having standard deductions and not being able to take personal expenses on one's Schedule C. These are the things that we're still trying to sort out and find out so we could put them in proper perspective for when clients speak with their tax professionals, they have good questions to ask.
So Joe, you've been doing this for a while. How long do you think it's going to take for all of this to shake out and people to really get a much clearer understanding of this new Trump tax bill?
Probably a year. I think it's going to take a good year because you're going to have opinions, and then you're going to have opinions for the opinions. And then like anything else in life, whether it's your financial planning or something that you're doing in personal recreation, sometimes you just have to jump in the water and figure it out as you go through.
Sure.
And it's similar with taxes in the sense of that when you're doing individual planning or you're doing an individual purchase for your business, speak with your tax professionals, speak with the financial folks that you work with at that time, and try to make the best decision for your financial situation at that time. And I think that's how you're really going to learn versus trying to learn every single piece of the tax code up front.
Gotcha. Well, and luckily that's what we have CPAs and accountants for, right? Is to dive in and totally nerd out on that stuff. Closing statements, or what sort of closing thoughts do you have on today's podcast?
You know, I would really just suggest that everybody be mindful of the fact that the way we're operating in 2018 is different than the way we were operating in 2017. So what that really means is, going back to what we were saying, Matt, do not try to figure this stuff out on your own, and don't expect to do the things in 2018 that you did in 2017 and achieve the same result. The result might be better, it might be worse, whatever it is, that's what planning is for.
Gotcha.
So work with the professionals that you might have, reach out to folks that know a little bit more about the actual code than yourself, and try to utilize the tax code to your advantage to maximize your tax deductions and really minimize your taxable income so you can continue to grow your business.
Wonderful. Well, Joe, thank you very much for your thought leadership today.
Matt, thanks so much.
Yeah, and this was episode number 10, The Trump Tax Bill with Joe Biondolillo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please make sure you subscribe by clicking the subscribe now button below. So every time Joe comes out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device. And for Joe, this is Matt Halloran. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Guardian, its subsidiaries, agents, and employees do not provide tax, legal, or accounting advice. Contact your tax, legal, or accounting professional regarding your individual situation.